and float on our ways to heaven without being involved in His church, and really without being involved with the spiritual warfare, without being involved with praying for one another. We are to be a praying people. We are directly connected to the Lord Jesus Christ by our prayers. So we have been emphasizing intercessory prayer, going a level beyond just offering our asking prayers, our requests to the Lord, but praying through. We have talked about a number of issues on this. We've talked about calling out to God, praying for the lost, and fasting and prayer. And I was privileged last week to spend some 5 days in prayer, just seeking the Lord, because I had some things that I needed to pray through. And I really appreciate the fact that I could spend that time alone with God without interruption and to pray that through until my heart was satisfied that God heard and God answered. I'll tell you, there were two major things that I was praying through, and both of those things, God gave me total assurance that He's in charge and He's taking care of it. Isn't that great? We need to pray through like that. We need to pray through and hang on to the Lord and say like Jacob, I will not let you go until you bless me. Or at the very least, Lord, I will not let you go until you give me peace that you've taken care of this matter. And God loves to do that. He loves His children to cry out to Him, Abba, Father. And that word means, Daddy, Father, I need you. We need you. And call on Him. And so our series on praying through, I think, is important for every believer. Whatever your level of spiritual maturity, you need to learn to pray. This morning, we're looking at another aspect of praying through, and that is praying together, not just praying alone, not just seeking God in the secret of your closet, but praying together with other people. And we know that's difficult for many people. Many people have some serious hang-ups about praying together. And we're not mocking you or shaming you for that. It's normal. I remember the first time that I was in a prayer meeting that people were going to pray out loud. And it was in high school, and I had a good friend, good spiritual brother, and we prayed together many times, but in a public setting, never. And it was a public setting, and I was terrified. I was this timid 16-year-old kid, and my buddy stood up to pray. And in this group prayer meeting, he started his prayer, and I thought, Lord, I have such baby prayers. I'm ashamed to pray. And my buddy stood up. And he prayed, Dear Jesus. And he just did a very simple, childlike prayer. Dear Jesus. And in my heart, I laughed. I said, I can pray better than that. And I wasn't mocking him. I was saying, wow, he prays just like I do. I say, Dear Lord, but he says, Dear Jesus. And there's no difference. We're crying out to our Heavenly Father together. And it's okay if we do baby talk. Because we're His children, and He understands that. And even when we don't know what to say or how to say it, He understands that. And God delights when we gather together with other people, and together we approach His throne and pray and seek His face. I want to talk about this morning as we look into the Word together. It was John Donne who wrote these words, All mankind is of one author and is one volume. When one man dies, one chapter is not torn from the book, but translated into a better language, and every chapter must be translated. As, therefore, the bell that rings to a sermon calls not only the preacher, but the congregation to come, so this bell calls us all. But how much more me, who am brought so near to the door of sickness? No man is an island entire of himself. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. John Donne had grasped a spiritual truth. He had embraced it and said, I am not alone in this world. I'm a part of the whole. I'm a part of the body of Christ, and we lean on each other. We need each other. And if we ever get the idea that we are to be autonomous, we are to be solo in our Christian life, we've missed the truth of God's Word. God calls us to be together. That's why the church is called the assembly, the gathering together. The word church means gathering of people together. God wants us to know that we're not alone, and we should not live our Christian lives in isolation from one another. The Bible calls us the body of Christ, the church. And we are members in particular, but we are members together with each other. We need to understand this, that without each other, we cannot be as effective. If we stand alone, we fall alone. It was Ecclesiastes in the wisdom of Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. He speaks of this, and that's not our passage, but it prefaces what we're going to look at this morning. And Solomon says, two are better than one because they have good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Also, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You see, the emphasis is not alone, but together, with two or three people binding yourself together. We all have, or most of us, I should say, have two hands. And I want you to take your two hands here this morning. Put them out in front. We use two hands. God gave us two because it's more useful than just one. Now take one hand and put it behind your back. Now I want you to reach down and tie your shoes. What do you got? Not much. I've never been able to do that, to tie shoes with one hand. I admire people that do lose a limb and can learn the dexterity to tie their shoes with one hand. But you can't. Can you juggle with one hand? Not very easily. Can you clap with one hand? Not very easily. You're handicapped. And that's exactly what God wants us to understand, that when we are praying alone, that's okay. That's part of what we do. We pray alone. We go into our closet and pray. But that's not all we can do. We can do much more when we gather together to pray. And there's two or three of us. Now, the passage this morning is found in Matthew chapter 18 because Jesus had significant things to say about this issue of gathering together and praying in twos and threes. It's found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. It's one of my favorite passages. I have it underlined. I have it marked in yellow. I have it boxed in Scripture, so I never forget to go back to this passage. It is a passage that is important to us. And God wants us to understand it. Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to read from the NIV, the New International Version, because it seems to hold to the translation here, and it's helpful to us. Verse 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Pause there for a moment. What's he talking about? Jesus had just finished talking to his disciples about dealing with conflict in the church, in the body of Christ. He's telling them, you guys have wisdom and authority to deal with those things in the body of Christ. And he lists the things that we should do when somebody has something against you or is mad at you. You go to that person one-to-one. That's the first step. It's never the second step. That's the first step. The second step is if that person doesn't hear you and doesn't agree with you about that situation and peace isn't made, then you go with two people. You go with you and somebody else to establish every word and try to bring peace in that situation. And the third thing you do is after you heard the witness of two or three people and he still doesn't hear, then you bring it to the church for church discipline. So the context is church discipline. But that's not all it is. The context is talking about spiritual authority in the context of church discipline, and now in the later verses, talking about authority in prayer. Thus, he comes to this point, verse 18, and he says, I tell you a truth, whatever you, and that you points to every one of us who is a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you a truth, you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. This is a powerful passage. This is a passage that we need to understand because our Savior Jesus taught it to us. And he asked us to learn this just as much as he said, learn the Lord's Prayer. We need to learn that God has given us spiritual authority, not simply alone, but together, in agreement with others. We have authority before the throne of God, and we can change things by our prayers. I want to offer to you another translation or a paraphrase of this. This is the LaFontaine version. It's a rare copy, but I found it in dusty archives. And if you want a copy of that, well, it's now no longer in print. If any two of you agree on earth concerning something and go to God in prayer asking for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Why? Because where two or three of you come together in my name, I am there with you. My authority is with you, and my power is with you to accomplish that. See, there's nothing in here that says alone we have authority, but together with two or three gathered in Jesus' name and praying and touching on an issue and agreeing together about that, and before the Lord Jesus Christ as our intercessor in heaven, we agree with Him. And when we're in agreement with Him, then we can ask, Dad does great and mighty things. Our Heavenly Father does great and mighty things for us. We're going to look at four words in the passage that are significant. Word number one is deo, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Word number two is also significant, and that is symphoneo. And the word number three is sunago, and the fourth word is homothumadon. Greek words, and I'm not trying to impress you with Greek, but I think it's very important when we study the Word of God to see the word that's behind there in the original, because most of our translations, in any translation that we give in English, is weak. We can't say it exactly like they said it in Greek. In most cases, what we use two words to express, the Greek says in one word. And I think that's significant. I'm giving it to you not to make you a Greek scholar, but to help you understand and apply it to your heart. All right, look at the first word that's important here. Verse 18. He's talking about binding and loosing. I tell you a truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. To understand that, we need to understand some scripture. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 16, Jesus comes to a woman who is bent over. She is a daughter of Abraham. She's a child of God, but she is crippled because of a disease in her back. And Jesus heals her on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day. He speaks the word. And he says, be healed. And immediately, she's able to stand upright and she's totally whole. Well, the Pharisees didn't like Jesus doing any work on the Sabbath day. I mean, it is work to say, be healed. And they got all huffy about it and said, you've done work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And the answer is yes. You see, Jesus did some loosing here. Satan had bound her. He had tied her up. That whole word of bounding, binding something is about ropes being tied on somebody's hand and paralyzing them, making them incapable of doing what they ought to be able to do. And when Jesus comes along, he declares the loosing of the captives. And immediately upon his declaration, they are set free. He applies the same thing to us. That we have the same word of authority to bind and to loose before the throne of God. Look carefully what he says. Whatever you bind, look at the next words, on earth. How many of you are any place but earth? It seems like an oxymoron, a no-brainer. Of course, whatever you bind, because you're on earth, is going to be on earth. Why did he have to say on earth? He was making a point. He wants to draw a parallel. Whatever you bind, whatever you declare bound or loosed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, God says the same thing will happen in heavenly realms, that God looses it from heaven above. That's an amazing passage. God gives us the authority to do that, not alone, because he goes on to tell us that we ought to do it in twos and threes in agreement. But it's a significant passage that talks about what a believer can do. Ropes bind people. But the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can cut those ropes, untie the knots, and resolve the problems. Many in the Church of Jesus Christ today are bound by problems. You're bound up inside. Your emotions are tied up in knots. We even use the expression, I'm tied up in knots. And Jesus said, I have come to set you free. And whom the Son shall make free, he will be free indeed. You see, Jesus came to loose the captive, to set us free from bondages where Satan has come in and taken advantage of us. He's always doing that. He's always persecuting us. He's always seeking to tie us up. He's always seeking to hinder in some way the work that God wants to do. And believers need to understand that God has given us a word, deo, and the opposite word, loosing, is luo, that God has given us these words that we can declare together before the throne of God in prayer, Lord, loose in the name of Jesus. And God is going to loose some situations. I mentioned praying this week and standing before the throne of God and kneeling before the throne of God, and often I was on my face before God in prayer, crying out to God about situations that I could not resolve, situations that I have no way of resolving. They're tied up in knots, and I can't get them through, and I can't let them go until I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God brought promises to my heart. God brought assurance by the Holy Spirit that He has taken these things, and then by faith, I turn those back over to my Heavenly Father and say, then I bear it no longer. I give it back to you. Solve the problem. Untie the knots. Loose this thing and set it free. I'll tell you, there's a wonderful experience when you find something is loosed and set free. When God gives you a freedom to know that He's already answered and He sent the answer, it may not have arrived on earth yet, but it's already responded in heaven. And that's what He's talking about here. What you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. That's our first word. The second word is the word agree, and it's found in verse 19. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. We need to understand this word. In the Greek, it's symphoneo. It's a compound word. Sum or sun, S-U-N, is a prefix that means with something else. And then you come to the main word, phoneo. Most of you know what phone is, right? Didn't say cell phone, but he says phoneo or phone is the word for voice in the Greek. Isn't that fascinating? Every time you answer your cell phone, it's a cell voice. That's what it says in the Greek. And now he puts those two things together and says, when you agree on something, you're with voice agreeing to something. This is a significant word that we can't just pass by and say, like an American in English, agree, if we agree on something. It is a contractual word that speaks of a legal binding agreement. Where any two of you on earth, and I love this passage, says, as in the King James, it says, agree as touching any one thing. And that is expressed in the Greek as well. You agree about one thing, one issue. You're specific about it, and you agree about it. You talk about it. You debate it, and you discern it in the Holy Spirit. And you say, this is the thing we know is not of God, and it needs to be set free. And you agree as touching that thing, and you shake hands on it. You make a contractual agreement, not just that you agree it's a problem, but you agree that it's a problem that needs to be resolved and will be resolved by our Father in heaven. That's the significance of this verse. It's not just praying and hoping something is going to happen, but it's an agreement together as a contract that we are going to pray this thing through. We agree, and I shake hands with you, and you and me are going to pray about the issue until God answers or until Jesus comes. That's the kind of agreement that is expressed here in the Greek. It's with voice. We agree together. We touch this one thing. We ask the Heavenly Father, and we keep on asking until He answers. This is not name it and claim it. This is name it. And pray it and believe it until Jesus answers. That's what we're talking about in praying through. We pray something through because symphoneo also means the word symphony. You know what a symphony is? It's a harmonization, an agreement of different instruments of different capacity coming together and playing a wonderful music. Now, I'm hoping Pastor Dave blessed this on because I want to show you something. Here is one note. Hope it works. Ah, Pastor Dave. All right, here it is. Camera, follow me? Okay. That's one note. Isn't that great? Give me a round of applause. That's my concert. Now, if I combine two notes, it's even better. Let me try this. Ooh. That's nice. And then we do three of them. Wow, that's even better. You guys are good. I should go on the road, shouldn't I? Now, let me try one more thing. Dave's not here, and I don't know how to play music, but I know this. Isn't that gorgeous? It is to me. It is to me. Because I remember a time when I could not hear harmonization. Absolutely could not hear it. Never knew what it was. People talked about singing and harmony and altos and duets and all these other things, and I couldn't hear it. And God one day did a miracle in my life and gave me the gift of hearing harmony. And I remember the day that I woke up after a dream. God had revealed it to me in a dream. And I woke up, and the music was on the radio that morning, and I heard harmony for the first time. That's what I'm talking about, harmony. That's the word that's used here, symphoneo, an agreement of various voices, various notes being played, not in dissonance, but in harmony, in symphony, in concert together. That means it's really helpful to the throne of God, and as we pray, that we have different voices that agree together. They don't disagree and they pull apart. I hate to run over here. Next service, Dave, leave the piano on. Let's try this. That's two notes. That's two notes pulling against each other. They're not in harmony. They're in dissonance. That's not comfortable to listen to. When we pray, God wants us to be in agreement, in symphony, in harmony with what we're praying for. So let me encourage you to do this. As we think about this issue of praying in twos and threes and agreeing with something, we need to do this. We need to enter into a contract. That's what this agreement means. It's not just agreeing intellectually. It's agreeing in contract. To agree to make an appointment together. That we are going to touch this one thing. It's specific. We're going to pray about this thing. We agree that it's God's will and God's purpose and God's glory. And we're going to pray until God answers. See, that's the amazing thing. I just read a story about revival in the 1800s. In America, where it began in New York City, but it spread all over the nation. And in one particular city, I believe it was in Michigan, Holland, Michigan at that time, a group of people began to pray. And in one church, 50 women got together to pray for their unsaved husbands. I want you to smile for a moment. Those of you women who have unsaved husbands. Here's a little church. 50 women with unsaved husbands. They got together and said, let's begin to pray for our husbands. And they made an agreement. We're not stopping this prayer until God answers prayer for our husbands. There was the wonderful prayer meeting going on in New York City every day at noon. And thousands were gathering in prayer. But all across the nation, people were doing the same thing, picking up this idea of praying together. These women bound themselves by an oath to pray together until their husbands came to Christ. Took about 2 years, and that pastor of that church traveled to New York City to stand before those 15,000 people in a prayer meeting and say, I want to tell you what God has done. I left on Thursday past to come to this prayer meeting, and Thursday past, the last of those 50 men came to receive Christ as a Savior. I'll tell you, that's what Jesus was talking about. If any two of you agree as touching any one thing, you shall ask and it shall be done of my heavenly Father. That's this agreement prayer, this symphony praying of praying together and bombarding heaven. God isn't against doing this. You don't have to convince God of it, but you agree together with God's will. His purpose is revealed in His Word, and you begin to pray that and you just keep praying it until God answers. The third word is significant also. It's in verse 20. And in verse 20, we find that Jesus sums it up again, kind of pulls it all together, and he says, for where two or three come together, and that's the word we're going to look at, come together. It takes two words in English to translate it. Come together in my name, there I am with you. He uses the word ego or sunago. It is the idea of gathering things together. It is used often of gathering things into a net, bringing them together into a confined place and tying them close. That's the idea of this word. It is really two words brought together, to come together, to gather, and then gather together so that they're together in one place. I think it's significant that Scripture indicates here, as in other places, such as Ecclesiastes chapter 4, that there is significant power in two or three people praying together, even more than one person praying alone. We need to know that coming together for prayer is powerful in the eyes of God. God delights when His people come together to pray. He delights when you pray alone too, but He delights even more when you add to that alone prayer, the corporate prayer of gathering together with two or three people and praying. It is significant. Now, I want to step on some toes, but gently. Can I do that? All right. Dwight says I can, so I can. The same word, gathering together, is the word, or a synonym for the word, for the church, the assembling together. It has the same idea of a mutual agreement or a contract of coming together and agreeing to meet together every week, or at least once a week, or on particular occasions. You're committed to join together. I'm so glad that all of you are here. And most of you, as I look over the congregation, have been here many times. You have committed yourselves to be here. Now let me step on some toes. And I love you. You have been here for how long? Agreeing together to gather yourselves together in one place for worship, being the ecclesia, the church, the gathering together. But many of you have hesitated to become members of this body. You're willing to sit and enjoy its privileges and its blessings, but you're not willing to make a contract of a pledge that I belong to this church. You see, the idea that Jesus was conveying was a legal idea of a commitment to one another. Many of you have been dating this church for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And we love dating. It's wonderful. But guys, you need to grow up and go beyond dating and get engaged and get married. Amen. Thank you, Dwight. We stomp on toes. And I'm not mad at you because of that. But it does hinder the body of Christ. It does hinder us from doing the work of ministry when the people who gather together are not committed to the body. They're not committed to the assembling of themselves in that particular place. They're not connected in some tangible way. And Jesus said, when you agree together, when you shake hands together, and you agree as to this one thing, this is my church, there'll be no shame. My friend, I am committed to this church. This is my church, not my ownership church, but this is my church. I fellowship here. I am a member of this body, and I am unashamed of that. And I'll tell the world I belong to the Grove City Alliance Church because I am committed to you. And I hope that every one of you who have been dating the church would come to a place soon where you can make that commitment that this is your church and you're unashamed to call it your church. And you're under shame to shake hands, to take the right hand of fellowship and say, I'll declare to everyone, I belong to this. This is my church, and I take responsibility in it. And I agree to gather together every week for worship, for prayer, and for celebration of the Lord's Supper and all that we do together. Now, you're welcome to continue here for 50 years if you want and never join. There's no biblical principle there that says you have to be members as we have the form today. But the agreement idea is in Scripture. There needs to be this agreement together as touching this thing. And you come together as two or three coming together in a net. And you agree about what you're going to do together. I have a little time, so let me say a few more things on that. what we ought to be doing together, I see as four things. Many more than that, but four things. Number one, we come together to worship. Worship is a verb. You cannot worship God coming here and gathering together and just standing and watching. Did you stand and watch worship this morning? You did not worship. Worship is exalting the Lord together. That word's there again. Let us exalt your name together. We need to do it. I don't care what your voice is like. Well, I do, but God doesn't care what your voice is like. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and if that screeches, it's joyful to Him. But you need to be doing that. You need to be expressing to God the glory of His name. That's why Jesus says here, if you come together in my name, you exalt my name. And it doesn't matter where I've preached and what church I've pastored, I've watched the congregation. There are usually probably 10% of the congregation that never open their mouths during worship. Oh, I worship in my heart. No, you don't. You start worshiping in your heart, but it has to come out of your mouth. That's the whole expression of worship. It is an activity of the mouth. This whole passage that we're talking about here, agreeing together, is with voice, not with meditation. So we need to worship. And then we need to sing. We need to sing together. Worship is exalting His name, but singing together is singing His praises, the works of the Lord. I love that song, I Will Remember. I really love that. I asked Dave last week to get me a copy of it. He did, and I went away on my prayer time, and I played that. Every time I have played that, and every time I sing it, I cry. I weep. Lord, because I remember the day that You saved me. Something in my heart just gets thrilled. Lord, I remember the day You put a song in my heart and a hunger for God. And You gave me a love for Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross. And my life was forever changed. How can you be silent? How can you not sing His praise? And then we pray together. Praying together is part of this. That we agree together in prayer, but we voice our prayers together, which often is not done in the church. Others pray for you. And the last thing we do together, it's a verb. I'm making a verb out of a noun. It's called amening together. It's based on this word, agreeing together. We amen together. Amen is an agreement that says, yes, yes, Lord, that's right. Amen. Amen together. Why? Because we are bound together and we are before the Lord and we are exalting His name. We're pointing at one thing and we're saying to that thing, amen, Lord, so be it. Make it so. You see, when the church gathers together and does all these things, there's a wonderful power that is present. And Jesus said, when you do that, I am present with you. That's the power that's present. It's wonderful when Jesus comes in His power and His glory and He shows up at church on Sunday morning. And He does that most frequently when God's people are involved in this worship and prayer and singing and amening together. And He is pleased. I often begin the service, and you don't see me doing that, but I'm praying, Lord, be pleased to smile on us. My desire is that You would be pleased with our worship, and You would smile, and all angels from heaven would smile down on us, and the Lord would let heaven peek on us and say, this is what church ought to be, the agreement of coming together. And then there's a fourth word that's not in the passage, but it is referred to in the whole of the passage, and that is the idea of being of one accord. Being of one accord. It's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and in several other places in the book of Acts where God's people were together in one accord. Every time it's repeated, it's about prayer. Let me say it again. Every time that word is repeated in one accord, it's about prayer. It's about this passage being applied in their lives and the testimony of the early church in the book of Acts. And the word is this big mouthful of a word that is found in Greek, homothumadon. Homothumadon. It means to compound words. Of being with, this idea of together with, homeo. And then thumadon has to do with passion or heat. It's being passionately and heatedly together with one mind and one heart and one passion. It's God's people coming together and rushing along in the heat of seeking one desire and one accomplishment, and that's that God would accomplish His glory. I'd like to liken it to two tigers out in the field. And if you take two tigers out in the field, two tigers are better than one. Do you ever see a tiger or a lion chasing one of those antelope, one of those deer, and they're really fast, the gazelle, and they take off after it. It's a single lion or a tiger. He's running after him. He's zigzagging, and the animal can get away because they're fast. They're astute, and they can jump high. But you know, if there's two of them, they're going to chase. And when that zigs, the other lion is going to cut him off. And when there's three of them, even better. The one's doing the pursuit, and the antelope, the gazelle, is out in front and running frantically each way. But he's going to get caught, because if he goes left, he's got another one that's going to chase him off to the left. If he goes right, he's got another one that's going to catch him on the right. If he keeps going straight, he's going to wear out, and that tiger or that lion is going to catch up to him. That's the idea of this passage. It's a heated pursuit of the desire of God to seek one thing from the Lord. The church gathers together in twos and threes and sometimes in 300s and 400s and thousands to pray, to seek the Lord with one mind, one heart, one heated passion. Okay, now, we need a practical application. I want to bring this to you. How do we do this? How do we apply this to our lives? How do we put it into practice? Well, we need to take the first step. Let me give you a simple plan for getting started in prayer in small groups of two and three. I call it prayer partnerships. When you leave here today, you can stop by the office or look at some of the tables that are back there, and we will have this little half-sheet flyer of how to find a prayer partner and how to do an accountability partner, how to get together with somebody else and pray on a regular basis. But let me give you some simple pattern for that. Number one, start small. Start small. Most of you, I assume, are not doing this. Therefore, all of us need to start doing it at some point. And we begin small. Don't start thinking that you're going to suddenly do this for the next 4 years. You might, but let's start with 4 weeks. And that means you start by saying, Lord, I want a prayer partner, and I want to agree with somebody for the next 4 weeks about one issue. Case in point. My life. Our daughter is pregnant again. She had a real tough time with her last two pregnancies. She lost a baby. And then our grandson was born prematurely and has had a tough time, but he's healthy, and we thank the Lord. Now she's pregnant again. One of the things that is the one thing that Marilyn and I are agreeing together is about this. There's two of us, and we agree as touching this one thing, that our little baby girl, and we just found out this week, she is a girl, and I've got five grandsons, and now I got a granddaughter coming on the way. We're praying for her health and her safety and the safety of our daughter. That's a thing we put our finger on. Now, it's going to last more than 4 weeks. It's going to last on into February. But that's something that we've got a time limit on, and we're going to pray that thing through. We're going to keep at that. When you get together with somebody, you ought to have a purpose, not just a generic purpose. Let's get together and pray. And what happens is many people get together and they talk. And talk and talk and talk, and then they tag on a little prayer at the end. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about agree with somebody for a specific amount of time. 4 weeks is a good start. Let's agree together, and let's keep it simple. Find one other person. One other person. That makes two of you. You could find three, but I hear often the excuse in the church, I don't know anybody. Certainly you must know somebody. I just mentioned wife. Husbands and wives could do this. You know your wife or your husband, I hope. Agree with them about prayer. Agree with them to become prayer partners about an issue. And then go to the Father in heaven. But be looking for somebody else as well. Somebody outside your own family that you'll agree to. One person that you're going to meet with for the next 4 weeks. And you agree on a set time and place. That's very important. You need a time and place, and you need to be punctual about it. And so we've got guys here that meet every Sunday morning before church, before the 9:30 hour. And they meet, and they go down to the boiler room, or they find some other quiet place. And they've done this for couple years now, seeking the Lord together. They're doing this in a covenant relationship. And so I encourage you to find one other person and then agree to a time and place and then limit the time. Please, limit the time. The second most used excuse is, I'm too busy. I'm way overcommitted. Shame on you. You made too many commitments. Well, back off on a couple so you can make this commitment. It's a priority in God's kingdom. Jesus said to do it. So make the commitment that you're going to get together at a specific time. Here, let me give you a framework of time that you ought to do as you start this out. Are you ready? Spend 10 minutes together in prayer. That's not too long, is it? 10 minutes. Now, I know you're going to go over 10 minutes. But it takes the panic away, doesn't it? To know that you don't have to go longer than 10 minutes. Some of us think of praying for 10 minutes and go, I'm hyperventilating. I don't know how to pray that long. I can't speak that long. We're not talking about having a solo prayer time where you're talking the whole time. And we'll explain that in a moment. But limit the time. Could be 10 minutes, could be 20 minutes, whatever is convenient for you. But limit it so there's an entrance time and an exit time. Those of you that are busy, how many of you are busy? Raise your hand. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm really busy. I'm busier than you probably. Let's compare notes. But certainly you can find 10 minutes out of a week to meet with somebody and agree together in prayer about one thing and pray about that thing and do it for 4 weeks. Can you? Well, then do it. And then you got to have a place to meet. I read recently about guys that for 2 years met in their car before work. Summer and winter. Before going into the work, they arrived in the parking lot together. They would move over and sit in the car together, and they'd pray for 10 or 15 minutes together. For a couple years as they prayed through issues in their family life. I think it's wonderful. You can need a place. It doesn't have to be a fancy place. It could be here at the altar. It could be in the prayer room. It could be in your office. If you have an office, it could be at a place in your home. It could be at a diner somewhere where you're having a cup of coffee. Yes, you can pray. I'm so delighted when I go to some diners here in our community, and I look across the way, and I see two brothers or two sisters praying together at the table. They're not saying a blessing for the food. They're praying for each other. That blesses my heart. You know, we need to be doing that more so the community sees that we're together in prayer. We should not be ashamed to pray. So breakfast is a good way. Lunch is a good way. But have a specific place. Now, let me tell you what you ought to be doing together in prayer. These are suggestions. They're not laws, okay? As Pirates of the Caribbean said, they're more like guidelines. More like guidelines. What you ought to do is you'll go prepared. Bring a scripture. You're having your devotions every day, I hope. God is speaking to your heart. Take one scripture from what God has spoken to you. I got a ton of them from being away the last couple of days. And it's, wow, my heart is overflowing with you. Bring that one scripture and share it with your prayer partner. Your prayer partner will have one. He'll share it with you. It might be a promise, might be an exhortation from scripture, something that was meaningful. It doesn't need to be a chapter. Please, don't make it a chapter. You'll never get it done in 10 minutes. Jesus wept, John 11:35. That was significant. Bring that one. Bring a chorus. That is, it helps to worship together by singing together. And I know you probably don't sing well, so read the chorus or read the hymn together. That can be significant as well. But I encourage you to sing together, maybe not at King's Restaurant, but sing together when you're worshiping together. Make that part of your prayer time. And then bring one concern. I've had prayer partners where I gather together and week after week, and I say, do you have any prayer concerns? No. Then why in the world are we meeting? If I'm the only one here that's got a problem, well, you've got a problem. Don't lie. You got a problem. You got cares. You got concerns. You got things that are on your heart. Agree together about one thing. One thing, like our daughter, that's a thing to pray about. Some of you need to be praying about jobs. Some of you need to be praying about your marriage. Some of you need to be praying about some great temptation. You know, get together and pray about one thing. Don't pray around the world. Oh, I love my grandmother. She's in heaven now. But when we got together for Thanksgiving dinner, I always groaned when Mom or Dad would say, Grandma, would you pray? Because we knew that dinner was not served. It was going to be cold. Because Grandma had to pray around the world for every missionary that she knew and everything she was thankful for until she got done and we were all going, oh. You don't need to pray about everything when you gather together. Pray about one thing. Make that your issue. And if it's the same thing every week, then so be it. Hammer that thing before the throne. Agree together. You need to discuss it together. You need to discern together the will of God. And you need to pray together that thing until it's answered. And finally, have a prayer plan. Have a prayer plan. I call it ping-ponging when we gather together in prayer. Rather than somebody praying for 5 minutes and the other person going and falling asleep, We should ping-pong our prayers. They're sentence prayers. They're short prayers that we pray. And let the other person pray a short prayer. Then you pray a short prayer. You get it? How many times do I have to do that? Do you know how many times you could do that in a 10-minute prayer time? Very easy to do it. If you could pray for 1 minute, well, that seems long to some of you. Some of you, whew, you'd never get a prayer out in 1 minute. But if you ping-pong like that, you could ping-pong just a few phrases, four of them each, and you got 8 minutes covered. Wow. It goes fast, and it'll go faster than that. The more you do it, the more you'll sense you want to pray longer. That's okay, as long as you agree together to pray longer. But it's a way of starting. I want to encourage you as the body of Christ, the believers, to begin looking for a prayer partner. Don't spend the next year looking for a prayer partner. For heaven's sake, grab somebody and say, pray with me, please, for 4 weeks. So not everybody that you choose a prayer partner will end up being your permanent prayer partner. Some people don't click together. And so once you've done the 4 weeks, goodbye. Go look for another one. And you're going to find people that click with you. And you have a right spirit. And you just move together in your personalities and your prayers. And God blesses. Jesus has given us a wonderful promise here. That if we pray in this way, God will answer. And He will do great and mighty things for us. Finally, two are better than one. For they have good reward for their labor. The Lord says He smiles, He is present, and His power is manifest. And He will bind and He will loose and He will accomplish what you ask if you do it in prayer. Let's pray. Father, take the simplicity of our heart's desires to seek your face and help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Dave.
I invite you all to please stand and join as we sing this closing chorus.
You are my place of safety. You're the God I trust. I run to your shelter when times get rough. You cover and protect me. You heal my wounded soul. You take my shattered pieces and make me whole. You are God most high. You're the rock of ages. I will run to you. When the storm to you.
gather together in Jesus' name, we agree together as touching this one thing, that you would make us men and women of prayer, that you would give each one of us a prayer partner, someone with whom we can agree and pray and worship and seek your face until you answer. Go with us now and grant us that presence of the Holy Spirit and the leading of your Spirit to the person that we should pray with. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go and find your prayer partner.